Hey, y'all. Winning at life. Yeah, we're live. It's live Financial News Talk Radio, 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. You already have it. Reach out to us. You can text, email, call through the app, stream the show. We're on Facebook Live, Periscope. I am your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on today's show, you know, that coronavirus is already messing with markets big time. And we're going to explain to you, like, this isn't just some sort of happenstance.
I thought that was a beer.
Yeah, it doesn't, if that's how you get
it's
it,
gonna
though.
It's going to ruin the beer.
If you drink too many beers, you get the virus. I think that's how it spread through coronas. Now, we'll tell you some non-sarcastic stuff about how seriously this is having huge effects.
This is serious, worrying people.
Hang on. Let me go to the last paragraph almost of this article here in Fox Business where they were going over it. It was Starbucks had to close all of its locations in China's Hubei province. They will be closed throughout the week-long Lunar New Year. McDonald's closed its locations in that same area, and Disney has announced that its Shanghai and Hong Kong theme parks are going to be closed until further notice. Gregory, that sounds
nobody was
big.
Going anyhow. That's why they closed.
Well, the Hong Kong one maybe, but the Shanghai, was that one already being affected too?
Nobody was going.
Oh, because of the coronavirus. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So that's big. That's two big theme parks, and Disney only has what, five? I think it is. So anyway, more details.
So you're telling me they had two? They had one in Hong Kong and one in Shanghai.
Yes.
Two parks over there?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that either. I'm not going to pretend like I knew that yesterday. I just found that out when I read the article today. But we're going to start with something that there's not really a big financial tie here, but it's just such a huge story. Now, I was on a cruise ship this weekend, and within an hour after this happened, everyone on the cruise ship in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico knew Kobe Bryant had passed away in the helicopter crash.
At what time?
I don't know what time it was. I just, when we looked on the phone, it was like, okay, this was just posted 12 minutes ago. The helicopter just crashed 48 minutes ago. It's like, wow, this happened in the middle of Calabasas, California, and people on a boat in the middle of the...
Yeah, I don't know. I was getting on a plane in Las Vegas, headed home from a business conference. And yes, it was a business conference. I didn't gamble $1. You'd be proud of me. I've been there six straight years.
I gambled more than you
and
did.
Not gamble. Yeah. And you were on a darn ship on another coast. But I found out a few minutes after 11 that had happened. So
look, anyone who brings up the guy's controversies or whatever at a time like this, you need to go check your soul. I went out and I found the most optimistic, heartwarming, just emotional, positive sound clip I could have to encompass this. This is only 1 minute, but out of all the stuff I saw today, this is the one that does it best, because this is when he's asked, how do you want to be remembered? I believe this is Bob Costas asking him, and this is an interview that comes right before his retirement.
How do you want to be remembered? What matters to you in this whole discussion of what do you want people to think of?
I've always said that I wanted to be remembered as a player that didn't waste a moment. Welcome to the Kobe Show. Take two. Didn't waste a day.
Kobe, Kobe, Kobe.
And, I felt extremely blessed by the God-given talent. But at the same time, I didn't take it for granted at all. So if I could be remembered as a person that was born with a lot of talent, but did everything he could to try to overachieve, and lived every day as if he was the 12th guy on the bench, you know, I think that's a very powerful message to have, and something that hopefully the players that are now and players that'll come later choose to embody as well.
And that's Kobe Bryant, obviously not Bob Costas with the setup there. I got that wrong. But 1978 to 2020, this guy's a year younger than me, Gregory, and that's definitely too young to be dying.
Yeah, he won five championships, three with Shaq on the team, and then did it twice more after Shaq left, and Shaq won some titles after he left as well. So they proved to each other, hey, we could do it. They, you know, they kind of had a falling out, but they proved they could win without each other. And that's one of the things Kobe did as well. There was a game where he scored 81 points in a game. And I think the last professional basketball game he played, I think he scored 61 points in that game. Talking about going out in style as far as finishing your career. Yeah, it just was very surprising.
He was taking his daughter, two of her teammates, their moms, and a couple other crew to a girls' basketball tournament that he had put up the money for, organized, funded, and was spearheading for girls. It was a girls-only basketball league.
So there were some other parents on the copter. I was unaware of who else besides those three that you first mentioned.
So the daughter and a couple of her teammates and their moms. But that's what he was doing with his spare time. That's what he was doing with his newfound freedom in retirement. He started a girls' basketball league. So little girls all over the community where he was would have a chance to team up and develop their skills and play against each other and better their chances of going to college. Maybe, you know, if you have dreams of NBA or just being a better person and having something to do and being a part of something positive. That's what he was doing. He was giving them a ride on the helicopter. And if you've ever experienced Los Angeles traffic, I would take a helicopter everywhere if I were him. Don't get on, though. That's too dangerous to be flying. Get serious, y'all. Have you ever driven in L.A. traffic, Gregory?
I have.
The worst I've ever seen. So,
I don't know. Maybe I caught it. I've heard horror stories. I've got a number of friends that live in the L.A. area. And L.A.'s not about where you drive from one end to the other. People kind of stick to their areas of L.A. And why is that? The traffic really is.
So rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Nice little legacy you left there. And it's a reminder that, you know, some people are like, well, it shouldn't matter that much when celebrities pass away. It's like, no, it's okay to admit that someone you've never met before and doesn't know you from Adam actually touched your life and brought something into your home and brought you a little bit of joy. It's okay. It's not celebrity worship. It's a real thing and it's legit.
Well, it gets your attention, you know, and this is a financial show and people and listener, everybody's tied financially to this show. And why are you going to eventually retire? There's an ultimate point is because you can't work anymore. And then why do you do estate planning? Because you're going to die one day. Okay. So death is a part of us and we see it happen. We lose family members and all. And if this was a pro basketball player that had played back in the day and he died when he was 81, it'd be, yeah, wow, that guy was great. Okay, moving on. But when you think of, you know, if the basketball player had died of a heart attack at 55 or 61, you'd kind of say, wow, okay, he died young. But when you have somebody at 41 that's fine, it gets everybody's attention. And the thing is, it's not just the community knows him. He's well known around the planet, actually, in that sport. Basketball is a global sport, and he was one of the best to ever play the game. How many basketball players that play or have played have 5 championship rings? Not many. Heck, the teams don't have very many players. So, you know, it's not like the NFL, what they have 60 guys on a roster, or baseball have what, 20? I think basketball has what, 12 on a roster, something like that. So it gets our attention and how short life can be, because we don't know when our number's up, but we hope we have a long, fruitful, happy, healthy life. And everybody doesn't get that. And that's why I think it's just that meaningful. And then, you know, and then to see somebody that does have it all going for him, because he's successful in his career, made over $250 million as a player, and he's been as successful since that. He's a successful entrepreneur and philanthropist as well.
If you take anything from this, let this be like one of these little markers that say, am I ready if something like this unforeseen happens to me? And Gregory, I'm in the middle of updating my estate plan right now. I haven't done it since my last daughter was born. I have a will and whatnot. But, you know, you're supposed to update these if somebody gets married, divorce, birth, death. You know, there's all kinds of little landmarks and flagposts where you need to go recheck your estate plan, make sure your stuff's updated. I think this counts as one of those. This should count as one of those. Are you ready? Are you set up? Are you? I know it's not fun, but it's the responsible thing to do.
Well, we're reviewing ours again this year as well. I think it's been a little while, so we're going to review all that. No impact of this. It's just something that Stacy and I had actually talked about a few days ago and said, you know, in 2020, we're going to relook at everything because it's been a while, and I think it's something should be routinely thought about. Things change over time. There was somebody I was sitting down with, and their stuff was truly outdated, significant money, but it had been like over 30 years that the trust was in place. It's truly outdated. This isn't something where you do estate planning. Okay, we're set forever. I really don't think that's the case. And hopefully he was well prepared for something happening, but my guess is not completely. Things move at a pace, and he probably had some preparation, but probably could have used an updating. Is and that's safe to assume by all the celebrities and well-to-do people we see die. We find out, yeah, it was kind of a mess.
Now, Gregory, you mentioned you were in Vegas for a little bit this weekend at some point, and I was on a cruise ship, and so we both had access to a casino. I went, and you didn't.
Well, here's the question. Did you win more than I did or lost more than I did?
Can't tell, just tell you the story first.
Okay.
Because
I already know the answer.
You're going to ruin the climax here. Do you know the answer?
Well, I can guess it, but
okay,
we'll tell why I can after your story.
Okay, so my wife's an artist, and we go to art auctions, and at some of these little events, they have like a little casino fun night. And so me and my wife have played pretend roulette, not with real money and whatever, but we love the experience of the couple times we've done it. And she's like, you know what? Let's play real roulette. It's weird. Not like we couldn't have gone to Harris every day of the week and played real roulette, but okay, let's play real roulette. And she didn't remember the rules. So I was like, all right, now I know roulette. Let me give you the lesson here. So I cashed in $10. That's how rich I am. And I got my little $1 chips. It's a $5 minimum bet. And so, okay, here's first thing simple. If you just put $5 on red, spins the ball. If it lands on red, we win $5. We double our money. And so he spins the ball, lands on red. We double our money. I say, okay, so you can put some on black, and then you can put some on, like, I don't know, 1 through 18. And if it lands on one of those, you know, we break even. If it lands on a black 1 through 18, we double our money. Yeah, see how that works? And so showing her how to do the bets. So on the third hand, it was her turn. So she puts one on red and one on a number. Because what happens when you win a number? 36 times your bet.
So bet $10.
Yeah. So she had $5 on red. It didn't hit the number, but it hit the red, so she broke even. Second time, she put it on a black, and then she put it on her birthday, 28. It landed on 28.
And it's black.
Yeah. So, and thus concludes today's roulette lesson. Yeah, $185 in like 3 minutes, four hands. We're out of there. We didn't touch the casino again the rest of the boat ride.
Well, it was, good.
It was a wild success, Gregory. And that's going to be basically the rest of my gambling career.
Yeah, I played roulette before, but it was a long time ago. Played some other games a long time ago. Did sports betting even longer time ago. Because I'm a numbers guy. I'm kind of like, okay, well, there's got to be a way for all these numbers to work.
Work the juice or whatever. Yeah.
You know, it's got to be a way to beat it. And there's not. I was talking to a couple college students recently, and they're talking about their betting. And I said, look, I did that stuff over 30 years ago and was serious, like crunching numbers and everything. And then ultimately I figured out it's just a break-even deal at best. You win some, you lose some. And if you're good, you're getting out kind of even, that you really haven't lost much. But you're just not going to win unless you have inside information, like the refs are telling you who they're going to foul the most or something like that, you know? In the games. And of course I wouldn't have access to any type of information like that. So yeah, I've been in Vegas 6 years in a row, 7 years in a row. I've lost count because I don't count. It's just, it's another business trip to me. And, we have some restaurants we dine at, certain places we like. There's an Irish pub at Aria Resort. We kind of hit that every time. We look at it as, you know, on the night we arrived, there was an event to go to. We could have heard Dabo speak. He was speaking.
Dabo there. Sweeney?
Yes, Dabo, Sweet. You know, Clemson's coach.
I didn't know if there's another
Dabo. I won't
Dabo.
Say anything negative, but he did not win the championship in the Superdome there. With that said, Mercedes Superdome, I guess I should call it in that its correct name, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. He did not win the championship there, but he spoke. But you know what? I was like exhausted at 6:30 Las Vegas time. I know people are like, what? You did what? Yeah, I went to sleep and woke up the next morning about 6 o'clock, refreshed, ready to go to my business meetings for the day. And you know how much I put on any type of game in Las Vegas for like the 6th or 7th year in a row?
0.0.
0.0. But I did walk through the casino from the room because about 6 a.m. I'm up like, okay, what's going on? So I get up and we were on the like 48th floor, Cosmopolitan, unbelievable room. I'm like, I thought my favorite room was last year. This year was like, oh my gosh, the view, the room, the living room and stuff area. It wasn't that much more of an upgrade. But I'd get up, throw some clothes on, go down, walk through the casino because that's the only way I could get to Starbucks. That was my splurge. Starbucks every morning. Go get a couple of cafe latte grandes, two Splenda each, and two blueberry muffins. And there's something about in Vegas, Starbucks, blueberry muffins just have like some extra awesome flavor. I don't know what it is, but I go to Vegas, I get the blueberry muffins.
I've never heard this before.
No, I didn't tell you about it last year, but I've let it out the bag now.
You've got your game face on.
Yeah,
too.
Those were good. But I walked through the casino, and what at 6 a.m., you know, there's people at the tables. The workers are there ready for gamblers to walk up and start playing. And the shop's open and stuff. And you can see the bars are open. There's people having drinks at 6 a.m. This is Las Vegas. I'm like, interesting. So I just walk on through, get to my Starbucks, get my stuff, head back, go up to the room, and then go sit out on the balcony, drink my coffee, have a little bit of blueberry muffins. Stacy, my wife, joined me as well. She loves a good warm coffee in the morning, hot coffee, actually. And so that was kind of my morning. Now, the last morning, Sunday morning, I didn't do that until 7 a.m., like at an extra hour of sleep.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, it was like night and day difference. There were so many people walking through down there at 7 a.m. 6, it was pretty much not much going on, even though all this stuff's open, but people were gambling. There was like the hallway was busy. It was crazy. But there was still no line in Starbucks at 7 a.m.
See, you and I go to
there was no line at 6 a.m. either.
You and I go to these professional conventions, and there's all these people who are telling their stories, you know, motivational speakers or businessmen or people who have been successful in their ventures. Do any of them have their little backstory that says, well, I was gambling at 6 a.m. in the lobby of the Aria in Vegas, and that's when, you know, my life. No, none of them.
When my life changed.
Yeah. None of them included, you know, well, for a while there, I was gambling at 6 a.m. in the casinos. No, I haven't heard one of these little success stories. I've heard, you know, my parents were first generation immigrants from Russia and we came to America with $20 in our pocket or, you know, things like that. But never the 6 a.m. gambler guys. Never. It was like, well,
no, there's not much in there, but it's just the people that are, you know, the dealers and all at the tables and the, what is it? Craps table. You know, I think there's like four staffers there. And every morning they're just standing there talking to each other, but they're having to be there. So I was thinking Sunday morning, there was two craps table. And actually, cause I did it at 7, one of the craps table, like had 8 people around it playing it, but there was those other people at the other table, just standing there talking to each other. I was just wondering if you're doing that every day of the year, every week, you got to be there, but nobody's playing. What are you talking about every day? Just what you did yesterday. Yeah. This guy came through and he kept doing the pass line and he walked out with hundreds of thousands. You know, what is it they're talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, you kind of think,
you know, the guy could throw the dice, and he could like hit tens every time you throw it. You know, what are they talking about? Because I know you can't do that. I had visited a friend recently, another little gambling story, and he had a pool table and all, and he says, Gregory, you need to go see what I've done. Okay. Because I like playing some pool, not for money, just to play to see if I can win. And I think that's the purpose of the game for me is, can I beat the opponent straight up? And he had turned it into a craps table. And he was telling me he's been practicing the dice. He's got casino. He said he's going to figure out how to throw the dice. I'm like, oh
come on.
I said, okay, good luck with that. I think pool's a better game and more fun.
Ruined his like, table for that.
It's like, well, he had ordered this thing that mounted on top of it to turn it into a craps table. But what got me is he's going to figure out how to throw the dice.
Someone would have figured it out, don't you think? If it could have been done by now?
Exactly. How long has that game been going on and how many people have played it? And a lot of people, and I'm sure there's a lot more people has better finger control than I do or he does, would have figured that out. I'm just, okay, enjoy.
Yeah, well, look, you can go clean house in Vegas and then win the Yahtzee Championship after that. Let's talk to Justin in Summit. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What's going on in Summit, Mississippi, Justin?
Yeah, I have a possibility. My wife and I are renting on a property right now. It's a trailer, but there's a nice house with a pool and 26 acres. It's a nice area, and I have a possibility of getting a $400,000 loan with no interest and no deposit. But I'd have to go through a relative in order to get it and have to co-sign. I mean, I'm in my 30s. My wife's in her 20s. Is that a smart decision?
So it has a house with the pool, right?
Yes, sir. It does have a house with the pool. We're currently staying on a mobile home that is in the same property. And, I mean, it's beautiful. It's our dream house. And my thoughts were we could rent out the mobile home and help with the finances of it. And like I had mentioned earlier, we actually wouldn't have to have a deposit. We'd have no interest on it. It'd be through a family member. We'd have to co-sign with them. But do you think it's worth
it? Well, who's providing the money? The family member, because you bring up the co-signing with them. Who's borrowing the money? From who?
My father-in-law is a disabled vet, and so he gets a great deal as far as the loans go to be able to get the money with no interest and all that. And he'd sign for us, and we'd co-sign on it. But is it worth the risk for the next 30 years paying?
So I mean, what even, the risk? You brought up the risk, and that's what we're looking for. What is the risk? What do you see as the risk? Because you brought it up. Is it worth the risk? What is the risk to you?
Well, right off the bat, $390,000 is what's being asked for the property. We can get a loan for $400,000, but I don't know with closing costs and everything to that extent. I've never bought property before. I'm not quite sure about what, you know, goes to the realtor and everything to that extent.
Well, there is some commission to them. That's obviously built into the price, I guess, or it's added on. Now the loan is sweet for you. You've got nothing down,
right?
Super low interest rate, and it's coming because of the relative signing on. So you're signing along with that, but he's getting the deal. What is his age? I think there's a risk there because what happens if he dies?
He is 48, and the plan was to, I could be phrasing this wrong, to get a quick release on the loan, essentially. Like I said, I could be phrasing that wrong, to where if anything happened, it would immediately go to us.
Okay. But if he's dead, can that transfer happen? How would that happen?
To my understanding, it would, that if anything were to happen, that we would automatically get the property, that no other sibling or family member could attempt to get it from us, that we'd continue with the same loan amount, everything to that extent.
Okay. Does he have any other family members alive? Descendants?
My wife has several sisters and brothers to that extent. But
yeah, here's where I'm going. I appreciate you calling Winning at Life and listening to our show, but I think this moves into legal advice realm where, because what you got to think about is, oh, this is a great deal. Love the country property, you know, deer hunting, renting out the trailer, the pool. Maybe you've got a pond to get some catfish in. It sounds pretty cool. But what you've got to think about is, what if something happens? What is the legal ramifications if this does not play? And part of doing stuff like this is thinking of the scenarios that can go wrong and how you could be in litigation, or you have other relatives wanting the piece of the property because of their relationship to him, and having some legal way to get a piece of the pie. And that's what I would want to explore, is what is that? And then how do we need to do the paperwork? And that's where the legal part comes in, is how do you do the paperwork that protects you from legal entanglements later? And you may not have any, but that's what I would be exploring, is by somebody that knows Mississippi real estate law, that would, you two doing a deal together. And if something happened, falling out, mm-hmm. death or something, how does that affect this deal?
And would you recommend getting an attorney then?
I would call an attorney tomorrow and pay them a fee to sit down and whatever their hour is, because it's going to be worth it for you to figure out in advance, where is your exposure and how do you do the paperwork to protect yourself from this going wrong? That's what I definitely would do.
There's one other possible risk that is going into the situation. We might possibly be, we don't have children, but we might be having to take custody of two children within the next month. And so that's a big change of our pay rate as far as daycare and everything else goes into extent. I mean, would you recommend, with that being up in the air, to just kind of hold off and see how it goes?
Well, this is a financial commitment you're making. If you go in and do this deal, children, no children, you know, people have children. They have children and not planning to have children. They plan to have children and have more children. You know, it happens. But that you're going into a financial contract, and you can't go a few years later and say, oh, we didn't expect this to happen. Whatever you're expected to pay, you're legally obligated to do so. So that could be an ugly mess for you if you can't, especially when it's family tied in. This is super delicate that you're doing a family deal. You need to really make sure you can meet this obligation. It's one thing to do a deal with a stranger or a bank or something and then default, but family, I wouldn't want to do that. So once again, you need to make sure this is something that you can carry the weight of this obligation.
Now, hang on. I'm going to talk about Justin behind his back. Do the earmuffs thing from old school, Justin. Can you just do that for a second? Now, this sounds like a great deal for Justin, but what about for his uncle? Would we be telling him something different? Because his uncle calls in, he's like, yeah, I got this nephew, and he wants me to co-sign with him on a property, and it's going to be a...
Well, on the other side, I'd worry about the credit worthiness of the family member coming on board, and if they couldn't pay, where are you buying into the deal? Are we getting this property at a discount? Because I'd want to make sure I can unwind this deal later if they couldn't follow through and pay the bill. I don't want to be paying full price for the property and not able to. I would have some concerns there. And then what if they get a divorce, have too many kids, you know? Or what if Justin passed away in a helicopter accident or a dump truck accident or something, you know? What if something happened to him? What would happen to the deal? So those are the things on his end, too, he has to worry about.
All right, Justin, you can undo the earmuffs. Any follow-ups there?
No, I mean, I think you guys, I mean, that's where I was kind of standing in the first place, is it is a sweet deal to be able to have the opportunity to get it, but the opportunity still goes down the line as well. And
yeah. I also, so what's the value of the property?
It's right under $400,000. And so, I mean, that's right at what we'd be getting.
Okay.
That's a tough one, Justin. Good luck.
Yeah. Be careful.
Thank you, guys.
Do your due diligence, your research, and think about this long and hard.
Thanks for the call. It might turn out great, though. This may be the best thing ever.
You know, you're not getting the paying the value of the property, borrowing all the money for that, but zero interest. He's saying he has nothing down, has its merits, especially if the property can, the values can go up in time. With that said, I wouldn't do it thinking that would happen. I would just think this is my opportunity because I can never get a financing deal like this ever. I would never qualify for this, but I can swing the note and this is where I want to live and raise my family. Now, one of the things I was looking for in Justin's deal, I was hoping to hear that gave us some extra perks in the deal. Like when I asked him what was the value of the property, I was hoping for, yeah, this is like $500,000 property. I'm getting it for $400,000. I can get 100% finance and no interest. And if things, you know, doesn't go well, I can sell this thing and make some money. And that wasn't the case. There were some other issues and even a question of that came out in the conversation. I'm not sure if I can afford it because of a couple of kids coming our way. So a little bit of concerns there and a little bit of, if somebody dies, what happens to the deal? Yeah, it just, and I think for the other signer, a little bit of issues on that side as well. So it's a little bit of concern. I was just hoping there was like some sweet spot in the deal that, yeah, this is great property. We're getting it $100,000 under value. Wasn't there. They're borrowing everything it's worth, which gave me a little pause as well on that.
All right, let's talk to James in Slidell. You, sir, are on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, James?
Hey, buddy. I just kind of wanted to add to what the young man was asking about earlier, especially with the home. I just think he was missing a piece of it, too, is with the insurance. Especially a house that size, that kind of acreage, you're definitely going to incur a policy, even if you are a veteran. And I just kind of wanted to just put my input in that. I'm an insurance agent with the Woodlands Financial Group, and just kind of wanted to, I like your show. It's like the second time I think I called in.
Oh, so. Thank you, James. You know, we were talking off the break, and that's where I came up with a couple of other things. I was looking for some sweet spot on the deal and such. But he came out when he talked about a couple of children and, you know, that might change everything financially. I think you're spot on because there's other things we didn't talk about, like what is your income? What and the stability of that. This is a big commitment. It's a family deal, too, to step into. But there's other costs in this. And you're right. It's a pool. It is 27 acres. And there is more to the deal than just that. And I appreciate you calling and adding that because I totally agree. There is much more to the conversation. And I think exactly. We probably gave him enough pause right there to like, he's got to do some more work.
Yeah. And I don't want to say they're deceptive or misleading, but they don't really stress how much that adds to your monthly bill because that escrow adds up with your insurance and your taxes. Are you factoring all that in? Oh. Yeah. Good thing to remember.
And
go ahead, James.
If I'm not mistaken, if once his in-law passes away, the tax exemption on the land is going to go away, if I'm not mistaken. It wouldn't be locked in forever because he's no longer the owner of the home. So,
yeah.
The taxes would eventually increase as well.
Yeah, and that's why I thought the attorney should be involved and not necessarily knowing how that sweetheart deal would go.
Exactly.
As a co-signer and all. So since we have an insurance person, so if I have 27 acres of country property up there, what kind of money are we talking about to insure with a country home?
You're talking 27 acres, I mean, is a lot of acres. It most likely had to be fitted with or go through a surplus lines carrier, and it could be as high as anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000, $7,000. And it depends on the area he's at. I mean, and then thinking about that much acreage, where's the nearest fire hydrant if his house is, you know, on fire? Or if the pond's not so close to the house. You got to think about all those kinds of things. I mean, how would you protect your home, especially with that kind of land?
Yeah, because that now I'm thinking I need an electric pump, a hose line running from the pond to the pump, yeah, out to the house, well, just in case something goes bad. Flip a switch, we put out the fire. Yeah,
this is because
the fire department's probably not close.
And I like to play with matches, so that's a bad combo. These are all great points. Thank you so much, James. Oh. Glad you called in.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks, James. Thanks for calling in again. Because I watched that Gold Rush show on Friday night, you know, Parker and some of them out there in their gold mining, and all of a sudden, you know, they've got the big old pumps trying to move the water to sluice the dirt, you know, sluicing so they can get the gold out.
Sluicing is a word?
Sluicing is a serious word.
You didn't make that up?
In the Klondike. Oh. No, it is serious. You have to be able to sluice if you want to get the gold, and it takes a lot of water, and things go wrong with that. So they're out nowhere having to move water to sluice to get the gold. So think about being on 27, well, just make it 10 acres and you need to move some water to put out the house fire, you know, and then all of a sudden, darn, we didn't have that hooked up tight, or
let me have
the pipe burst and my house burnt. I had all planned for it, but then the pipe burst and my house burnt down.
But let me tell you how this works, because when I was 12, I set my grandmother's yard on fire in the middle of nowhere, and you can call the volunteer fire department of Chapel Hill, Texas, and a truck will show up eventually, but a couple of gomers will show up with the lights on their truck, and the other guy had an El Camino first, and it's like,
you know, waiting on the fire truck.
You don't have water, so I appreciate, you know, your prompt service here, but yeah, that's it. It takes a while. That's
is that the volunteer fire department of Chapel Hill?
We have the to the chili cook-off every year to raise money for them, and they get the leftovers from the other municipal fire departments. It's a noble ambition.
You're listening to Winning at Life. If you'd like to have a deeper conversation about your money, have a daytime job, Gregory Ricks and Associates,
832.
I'm sorry, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.